Welcome back to Making an Artist. I'm your host, Shanna Schramm, creator, coach, and pottier. Before we get to today's guests, I've got some potty business for you. First off, early bird discounted registration for the spring session of Forward, an online creative coaching group, begins March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Why? Why the hell not? If you've got some New Year's resolutions that still need a little work, this is the spot for you. The winter session of Forward is already underway and we are having a ton of fun and making big progress. I can't wait to see you online. Visit lifeofthepotty.com/forward group coaching to learn more. Emerge, a retreat to honor your highest self, is happening in Three Oaks, Michigan, April 2nd through the 5th. If you like weekends filled with rest, growth, and a hot tub, visit emergeretreat2020.com to check out the itinerary and register. On today's episode, we have multimedia artist, musician, DJ, and creative consultant, Sarah T. In it, we talk about living in our soft power, creating with chronic illness, cultivating real online relationships, and of course, boundaries. Enjoy. Lead in, just real relaxed, real comfy, cozy. And I always ask my guest, please introduce yourself to the people in their cars and on their buses and trains, because that's where I listen to podcasts.
Well, thanks for taking the time to spend it with us, because there's so many options nowadays.
Right, think. You know.
My name's Sarah T, and mm-hmm. I've been a DJ and musician mm-hmm. for the past 20 years. I've sort of had my hand in as many things as possible, because that's what you have to do to survive.
You've got sticky fingers.
I do. but also money and living and paying the bills. But yeah, I've worked with nonprofits, creative consulting. I tend to be an early adopter of new media, social media.
Weren't you like the second in line on Twitter?
Well, you won't believe this, but I remember it came out and I was like, oh, another social network. And I was like, I'm going to wait. And I waited 6 months. So technically I've been on it maybe 12 years.
Uh-huh. So when did Twitter come out?
So, I think I got my 12-year anniversary stamp on Twitter because, you know, they give you a birthday.
No, I didn't know that. You get a stamp?
Yeah, you get like a little gift they deliver on your anniversary.
A digital gift?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's smart branding.
Is it like immersed in racism and sexism too? No. Sorry, that's my own Twitter.
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, where do we even begin
with that? Yeah, we can't even start there.
No, I can't. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know how long it's been around exactly, but yeah, definitely more than 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been around, you've been in the game a long time, and I love that about you.
Thank you.
And so you DJ.
Yes.
In fact, you're in town in Chicago right now from Michigan, correct?
Yes, correct.
And you DJed at a event last night.
Yes, we did the Empty Bottle for Feminist Happy Hour.
And it was a whole bop.
Yes, and it's been 3 years, I realized, since I DJed last.
Ugh.
So I've been dealing with chronic health stuff, and I'm sort of opening the doorway, being like, okay, what are spaces that I can test out my energy, that I can see how I feel, where I feel supported and safe? You know, there are many years sort of fighting the boys' club, and while I was in sort of alternative spaces, mm-hmm. you know, I'd be in like a, you know, I hate to use the word, but like, you know, like underground or like post-punk venue and mm-hmm. still working like the Roxy in L.A., and there's actually the same amount of fight sometimes in both of those spaces. So I'm at this chapter in my life where I completely pulled the plug, mm-hmm. but now I'm realizing, oh, I'm not done, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
I have to change where I'm doing things. And I'm not opposed to any of those locations.
Right.
And I think things are changing, but I'm also going with more intention, because before, you know, I was surviving and doing anything I could to make a living. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a side gig.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would adapt myself. And now I realize, no, I need to make better choices, but also be more clear. So this was a perfect, like, foray back into town. I stayed with a great gal. Her name is Shanna.
And we are actually in my bed.
Yeah, we're in.
Right now.
Yeah, my symptoms go away when I'm laying down, so it's the most comfortable. And, of course, Shanna's accommodating. So, you know, being in a space where I'm taken care of,
mm-hmm.
Attracting people that care for me, you know, doing the event last night, Empty Bottle, are all spaces where I can test out and be and feel, and you know, right. The world is shifting. It's not what it was 10, 15, 20 years ago, but I'm also,
thank God for that.
Oh my God. I'm understanding what I need better, which I didn't before.
Right.
I was, you know, I kind of didn't have a mask on. I still think I came with integrity of the heart, but I, you know, I had sort of a warrior layer that wasn't me, and I'm tired. And it's not authentic, ultimately, but I, in order to survive, I had that on. So, yeah, it was a good event in space, and I want to keep doing that more, and I want to keep coming back to Chicago because I love it here.
Yeah, it was, you said the warrior mentality, and that's something that I'm personally have spent a long time trying to deconstruct in myself and not lead from. And it sounds like you were in that space because, like, you didn't have the luxury of being anything else at the time.
No, I started looking back, and that's the gift, which is annoying for me to even say, because there's this idea that, oh, chronic illness is teaching. It's like, no, but I'm still learning. Mm-hmm. And there's something, I've had time to reflect, and that's what it's given me. And I started looking back around 10. You know, I was a little gentle kid. I was into poetry and fairies and in the backyard. And, you know,
we would have been such good friends.
Right. And, you know, I had my little crystals, and I began to observe that the world was not into that. That that wasn't what, quote unquote, succeeded.
Right.
I saw that being myself isolated me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it is a pre-puberty thing when people begin to adapt.
Right.
And so I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know, and at almost 42, I'm like, no, I want to go back.
Yeah.
To where I was. So I'm starting to kind of, even like at the setup last night at Empty Ball, I'm working with some sculptures and light sculptures, and I'm putting more flowers, and I brought back out my crystals. And to be fair, it's pretty trendy right now, too, so it works out.
Yeah, crystals are having a moment.
I just got to stick around long enough till the stuff I like. And, you know, even the fact that, like, you know, Fleetwood Mac is cool right now, or this, that's the stuff I grew up with, you know, like Carole King. These are the people that, you know, is my gentle spaces, or even Tori Amos, which I still feel there's, or, you know, some people love her, and then there's also a reaction to her. And it's like, I want to be honest about sort of the gentle side of myself and not erase it to survive anymore. You know?
Which brings me, that when what you're saying just made me think about the phrase soft power.
Yeah.
Which I've been a little obsessed with. And it's not, that, I don't believe that's a phrase that I came up with. It's a Laura Mathis, somebody on Instagram really came with it. And I heard that, I was like, oh, wait, there's power in being soft and gentle and kind and rounded, as opposed to like leading with the ego, leading with like masculine energy, which what you're talking about when you're younger was like what was and is still the main, what's the word I'm looking for here? The main paradigm. Is that, is that, And I just, I'm really interested in subverting that. I'm really interested in coming from the core of myself and being, and connecting with people from that space as well.
Yeah. And there are tools I've realized, and, you know, especially for anyone listening too, there's things that got us through that may be embarrassing or behavior or adapting that got us to this point.
Oh, God. There are jokes that I made 15 years ago that I would literally slap someone for saying today.
Yeah. I look at my old live journal, which if you guys don't know what that is, it's like an online diary. I have like 15, 20 years worth of stuff. And I look back at some of the language and the structure, and I was like, oh, okay. that's not what I want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I like that you... because I like that you brought up the word soft, because I'm working on a new EP that right now I'm finishing up a single, but I want to call the EP Soft Revenge.
Ooh, I love it.
Because there's this side of me that, you know, it's kind of a dichotomy of words. Like, do I really believe in revenge? No.
It's not an oxymoron, which I fucking love.
Right, thank you.
I love an oxymoron.
Thank you.
Hi, do you like what you're hearing? If so, swing on by patreon.com/lifeofthepotty and become a patron. This is a listener-supported podcast, so any amount you can support Making an Artist with is enough and greatly appreciated. If you can't become a patron right now, please rate, review, and share your favorite episodes so we can keep the conversation going. Thank you, and potty.
I function very well when people doubt me.
Same.
And I've always wondered if I would ever, would I be ever motivated? Like, what is going to be my motivation by the time I'm 60? Because maybe when I get tired of that. Right. So the idea of me sort of like disappearing, especially turning 40 and sort of fading away and having to move away from LA, which I love and adore.
Right, because you've been around. Like, yeah. You've been in Denver, mm-hmm. Chicago, mm-hmm. LA. Mm-hmm. And you were last in LA, and then what happened?
And yeah, well, and then I was in, and then I had to move to Michigan. Mm-hmm. But everything began to shift when my health wasn't diagnosed. It was when I was in Chicago, mm-hmm. and something was wrong. I mm-hmm. was drumming in a band. I let them know, like, I needed to get some tests done. I was having trouble walking upstairs. Mm-hmm. And I came back from the testing, and they called me, and they didn't believe me, and it was very odd. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I'm honestly too exhausted to convince you.
Yeah.
And I ended up picking up my stuff the next day and joining She's Crafty. Mm-hmm. But soon after that, in that year, and I'm going roundabout here, mm-hmm. I didn't get diagnosed. So I feel like my life has been on pause since I left Chicago, even though I've been in these different places. Mm. But because it took me 2 to 3 years to get diagnosed.
Right.
In that time, I went to Florida without telling anyone. I had a feeling my grandmother was passing, and I felt like I needed to be there. Mm-hmm. So from Chicago, still not yet diagnosed, down to Florida, you know, trying to maybe, you know, it takes a lot to relaunch a DJing thing. I'm not that invested in it. So I didn't go down there to keep pressing that. I have body products and things like that. I'm like, okay, let me try selling these. And then I tried LA again, but about a year or two in, it wasn't working. Right. Like, my routines were falling away. And so the condition I have is called dysautonomia, or POTS. And essentially, your symptoms exist when you stand, and mm-hmm. it could be dizziness, faint, heart palpitations, and just general fatigue. So,
which, like, so many jobs require standing. So many.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is, you know.
Yeah. And I thought maybe the freelance life was the reason some of these symptoms were there. So I decided to get a 3-day-a-week job. And that is when I totally saw my health go downhill. Yeah. Like, and that's the thing, it's subtle, because of course last night I performed at the Empty Bottle, but what people don't see is the next week of recovery.
Right.
Or longer.
Right.
And so in LA, I could get to work, but then I couldn't do my laundry.
Right.
Or feeding myself, or maintaining my household. Mm-hmm. And then if I try to do a DJ gig, that was an additional mm-hmm. issue. So I just, you know, by the time my family came to get me, I was, you know, they said I was like green.
Oh.
And still, the thing about dysautonomia is there's not a cure. It's just a toolkit. And it's also, it's not the diagnosis, it's a symptom, which I'm still don't even fully understand when I say it. But I was like, we were clear that, you know, I had to change my life because it wasn't working. And so we put all my stuff in storage, and I moved to the country.
It's beautiful,
Michigan.
There,
it is beautiful. And you know, I got there, and I was still on in my head. I was still trying to launch stuff. I was trying to do things locally, and I finally just let all the strings and let the reins go.
Yeah.
And it took a long time for me to do that, because I realized a lot of my identity and happiness is wrapped up in creation, mm-hmm. which, if you're an artist, is true. Like, you have this force in you. Or if you're a musician or whatever, there's something in you, it has to come out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, who am I when that's not coming out?
Mm.
Who am I, or who's my friend circle when I'm not doing these things, which I've talked to you a lot about, which mm-hmm. is they faded away. And not all of them, obviously.
Right, of course.
But I learned.
It's a huge litmus test for who's going to stick around and who's not, and who's with you because they love who you are, and who's with you because you can get them hooked up with that next gig.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, from when I moved to Denver and beyond, things just clicked for me. And I was an introvert, and I didn't really know anybody, and mm-hmm. I was sort of always an outsider looking in. And then suddenly I just thought people wanted to be my friend, and I didn't know there was.
Well, because you were like no throwing idea. Events and DJing a yeah. bunch and like had a store there and all yeah, kinds of my band stuff.
And I just don't know. I just thought we were building community, and
yeah.
I just didn't know that that wasn't the case for everyone. However, you know, I do still feel, I feel stronger and more closer to the people.
Yes.
And I know it's true. I do know better now what it looks like to be a friend.
Yes.
And who has maintained. And it's, I think some of this, to be honest with you, is turning 40, because life does sort of shift. People change and reprioritize. And I'm mm-hmm. sort of, you know, I'm starting to see the ride or dies, the people who want to build communally and, mm-hmm. you know, think long term and, mm-hmm. you know, take care of each other and stuff like
that. I had a friend send me a link to a lavender farm in like Arizona or New Mexico or something. And I was like, did you just find our retirement plan?
Oh my God.
So I'll send you the link after this.
Please do. I know. I keep them, you know, I think we aren't built to be so separate. And in my mind, yeah. I'm going to keep still building.
Right.
Even though the previous model, which, you know, to me was around arts and creativity, I thought we were all this or that, but I didn't know people had their own agenda that was very individualized.
Mm-hmm.
But however, I'm just too stubborn. You know, I'm built for revenge. And I'm going to last.
Soft revenge.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, continue to build that community. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it is sort of tends to be a little bit outsiders who don't quite feel, you know, they don't quite fit in. And I want to keep gathering that. And that's what's great about the digital world, you know,
yeah.
whether it can be digital or physical.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter to me. I, you know, we talk about social media, but it's not numbers to me. These are people. So they're in my mind. They're in my thoughts. And, you know, as time went on or businesses I worked with started unfollowing me, you know, I'm like, oh, I thought we were family.
But
I didn't know.
I totally.
I feel a little naive when I say that, but.
No, I don't. Well, also because those are new untapped spaces that people don't understand fully, and we don't fully understand how to operate in them. And I think you made a good point, is there's still people, and it's like we're still humans even in that space, but people forget that. And I also think that's the problem that we have with being such a like hyper-capitalistic society, is it dehumanizes everything
yeah.
and everyone.
Yeah. I mean, to me, these are relationships. And I can't tell you, I like to say it once a year online just to remind people. There have been quite a few times where I go to refer somebody
mm-hmm.
or I go to send something or, you know, give them an opportunity, and they're not friends with me anymore. And it's happened a lot.
You're kidding.
No, because I keep a file in my head. I'm uh-huh. built to do that. I
yeah,
like
me knowing, too. Yeah, I'm like, oh, you need somebody that does this? I'll refer yeah, you. I know somebody.
I'm built for that. And it could be now. It could be in mm-hmm. 5 years.
Right.
So I don't understand people who, you know, are, you know, and they're allowed to be that way, to yeah. be fair. Like, I had a great chat with my friend who works for a record label.
Okay.
And she was confiding me because she, like, follows and unfollows me all the time. And we ended up chatting. And she's like, you know, I just get overwhelmed. I was like, I know that about you now. That's fine. I'm here. I'm always here. This is why I wanted to call you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all personal, true, but I love community. Mm-hmm. I love relationship. People let you know where they're at. I'm here. I want to build. Who wants to be a part of it? And right. I want to focus. And that's my hyper focus now.
Yeah.
Is focusing on those who want to build. Who are interested, and not the negative.
I think you do a good job, because I feel like it was one of the visits you were here a few months ago, and you went to a movie, and you just like hit up this dude on like Twitter or something that you'd known through Twitter for a while, and he like got you into this movie for
yeah.
free.
Yeah, yeah. And
I saw you just like walk in with him, and like you had a real human connection with this person.
Well, that guy's a perfect example, because
yeah.
we've known each other since Denver, or like communally.
Yeah.
And those are the type of people where I'm the same way. I'm like, oh, yeah. It's organic. It's natural. And it's real to me to take care of each other. And also, I think it's a part of like the sort of LGBTQ mindset also, yeah. which is like,
you don't have some of those folks don't have like
yeah.
a nuclear family to turn to.
Exactly.
And so they are creating their own.
Yeah. And so that's kind of the people, that's the worlds that I've thrived best
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
And where we automatically are like, of course. And, you know, I know what they bring to the space, and they know what I bring to the space.
Right.
you know, and we can consciously co-create and support each other in an organic way.
I love that.
But yeah, it's nice to be walked into the theater, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah,
but
door held open for you.
And the thing is, like, I'm coming because I've got a lot of love to bring. You know, like, it's not just ego. It's like I really fucking care.
I know you do.
Thank you.
Oh my god. Beep, boop, 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 boop,
boop. Want more potty in your life? Head on over to lifeofthepotty.com and sign up to receive the Potty Report. It's a super fun newsletter that will keep you knee-deep in potty knowledge and goings-on. We've always got fun things in the works, and you're invited to all of it.
I just keep getting stuck around, like, this fear of vulnerability, which is what I think leads people to do, to unfollow, to, like, armor up, right? But I think there's real strength in, like, dropping the walls and being like, you know what, come on over here with me. Like, I want to show you something, or I want to be a part of this, or I want you to be a part of what I'm making. Like, there's something really beautiful and powerful in that. And that's that soft power that I think I really, really, really want to spend more time and energy cultivating throughout the rest of my life.
Right? I love that. You know, I try to let the people know, but there's a lot of just sweet peas, you know, who are a little younger than me, who are just artists or creators or just random people I've met in random little spots in the internet. Mm-hmm. And we're still friends. Like, I'm still friends with this guy in Australia who did the Grace Jones blog. And I still feel like it's yesterday, but he's younger. So he's like, remember back in the day? I'm like, what do you mean?
It was last week.
Yeah, he and I are still friends. He writes me periodically. He's like, I'm so proud of you. Aww. Or I'm like, what are you up to? Him and his boyfriend are, you know, traveling the world. And I'm like, these are my people, you know, and I really want to keep focusing on that. Even last night when I was looking out into the crowd, you know, because sometimes my heart feels something and maybe the other person doesn't feel anything back, and that's okay. I've learned that about Earth. But So I looked out into the audience. I was like, oh, there's some of my people, you know, sweet peas, like they feel me and, you know,
sharing experience.
Yeah, we're connecting, and that just tickles my heart.
I love it. I love it. So this is something, too, that I think is important to talk about, is that there's this idea that we can never stop.
Oh.
We can never, like, you had to, like, literally drop all the strings. Mm-hmm. You had to, like, let all the plates that you had in the air fall to the ground and probably crack into 1,000 pieces. And it's probably one of the best things you've done for yourself.
I'm really glad you brought this up.
Yeah.
Because I am sort of in my chapter 2 of the creative process.
Mm-hmm.
And I've started, you know, thank God for podcasts, honestly, because I've started looking towards, not mentors, but people a little bit older than me who have been in
the game. Let's
call it the industry longer.
Yeah.
You know, podcasts with, what's his name? The producer who did Beastie Boys. He's at this point, he's like a semi-little Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
I forget his name, but... I have brain fog with my condition. Anyone listening, don't judge me. And listening to him talk and kind of seeing the people who are essentially road weary, who've been around it a while. And I'm like, oh, this is in chapters. I'm seeing the second act.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even recently when I performed or being around other younger performers, I was like, oh, they don't have the long term in mind.
Mm-hmm. Cause they're going 1,000 miles a minute towards burnout.
They're not thinking about relationships. And I do mentorship through soundgirls.org, which is getting women to sound. I also do mentorship through Nap Girls, which is getting women into producing and DJing.
Mm-hmm.
And that long-term thinking is hard when you're looking at Instagram and your friends are all at this one party and you're thinking
instant.
At missing out. And I've said that to her, you know, and I've said this to these other women, and I'm like, listen, there's always going to be another party. There's always going to be something else. We think what we're in is original and going to go away. And I felt that when I was younger. I was just going to miss opportunities. And I think...
it's a scarcity mindset.
Yeah. I think there is a thing in your 20s where, I mean, you do have the energy. You do want to be everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to kind of like understand, like, because I never thought I'd be doing any of this.
Mm-hmm.
I never had this in my imagination. I was like, maybe going to be an editor behind closed doors.
Or no one can see you.
Yeah, or art, or maybe I'd go out once a year, or maybe I'd be a teacher.
Uh-huh.
So I'm now officially, like, in an industry, been in an industry, the least likely person, in my opinion, and realizing, like, seeing the full picture, mm-hmm. and even looking at older comedians and listening to them, and obviously, you know, or like watching Robin Williams talk in quieter settings, or the people that did or didn't make it through, and how we have the tools now to survive mm-hmm. beyond into this next chapter. And there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs, and it's hard to have that perspective mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because there's this idea of always being upwardly mobile, and it's just not real.
Yeah. There's like, not only will you stop and start, but you might switch mediums, mm-hmm. you know, like there's the, like, I hate this, so fucking cheesy, but like the world's your oyster, honestly.
Yeah.
But do you want to go through it and drill yourself into the ground, or do you want to go through it mindfully and paying attention?
Yeah.
And pausing when you need to pause and pivoting when you need to pivot.
Yeah.
And I mean, that to me is, again, like a more core loving response, as opposed to like, got to keep the momentum, got to keep it looks, got to keep it 100. I know we've talked a lot about that too, mm-hmm. about the pressure to always be on, or to look like you're on, or whatever. And it's fucking exhausting.
It is. It's tough. I don't think I have a full answer for it. You know, yeah. I think what I've done, because I do like the visual medium of mm-hmm. social media, mm-hmm. I've been trying to write more in the captions mm-hmm. and share Same. More
yeah.
My experience, which honestly, if you look at it from a marketing standpoint, is successful because people want a story.
Yeah.
They don't want to just be sold something,
uh-huh.
you know, or, you know, I don't think that builds long-term connections anyway.
Right.
You know, and I've heard like some statistics, if you want to get into the creative consultant mind or marketing mind myself, like where someone with 30K on Instagram isn't getting the same engagement as someone with 5,000.
Yeah, yeah.
They're saying now that there's actually a sweet spot, you know, where if you're having more engaged and communal than just sort of, and I feel for these like Instagram influencers, and, you know, I don't blame them for trying to survive Hello. In this world, like, and taking, you know, mm-hmm. not the, you know, the toxic tea commercial.
Yeah, the shit stuff. Teas.
Yeah, not those. But I don't blame them for trying to survive. And I don't think people should criticize them for trying to figure it out, because mm-hmm. it is a wild west right now.
Yeah, but it really is.
The one thing that's been good about social media is that they can take it back into their own lives. Mm-hmm. Like, they're in control of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, they had to have a manager or somebody right. else repping them. So I see both sides of it.
And totally.
I have concerns, but also I'm excited. It goes both ways.
I think that's really, that kind of is just the way I look at social media, is it goes both ways. It can be a wonderful tool and can also be detrimental. It's like, but how, it's all about the user and how you decide to wield it for yourself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2020, I made some, because, you know, I've been on it for so long.
Right.
I placed some very light boundaries, and it's been like game changing for
Good.
Me. Because I know I see people delete it, and I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, okay, first of all, I have a disability now, so
you can't get up and go out every time you want human connection.
Yeah. And I can't even sometimes do a phone call.
Right.
So that's fine. I like the communities I've built. I consider them just as valuable and mm-hmm. real. Mm-hmm. But so for me in 2020, I just, like I said, I didn't delete the profiles, but like I deleted a couple apps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I still have my Instagram, which I enjoy. It's very visual. I have my ASMR.
Yes.
Which I'm on a lot. And then like I deleted Twitter and my Facebook Messenger
mm-hmm.
and my Facebook app. I still have my Facebook for Business.
Yeah.
And so if once a day I need to go on, it's just the urgency has changed.
I think I'm going to do the Facebook Business thing. That's a good tip. Thank yeah. you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I mean, I just, you know what? We do Making an Artist so we can learn.
That's right. Let's learn.
These are great. But I think boundaries is the key. I'm obsessed with boundaries. I love, because it's empowering. You know what I mean? Like, I think what happens sometimes when we don't have boundaries is we feel like powerless, and if we just throw, it's like, can be so simple, right? Of just yeah. like, oh, I'm gonna delete this app, I'm gonna do this.
Well, even last night when I was spiraling and I couldn't find a cord, I felt like I was trying to place, for believe it or not, this is about boundaries, but I was like placing a box. I was like, okay, you're not finding it now, A, B, C, D, F, like what can you do to control this moment?
Mm-hmm.
And yes. there's a lot of times where that same energy that I was feeling was spiraling, I have in life. And it's like, well, what, I'm in control to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously I can't control everything, but I can mm-hmm. make choices.
Right.
And that's not always obvious. And I think especially as a woman, or if you're raised to be in service,
yep,
or
absolutely.
If you're sort of essentially bred generationally to be in service, and your existence is based around that,
yep.
and your worth is wrapped up in that,
you don't think you have a choice.
No. And so it's new for me to restructure and evaluate
mm-hmm.
The future and what I want by
Same.
Creating those boundaries.
It's not something I would have done 10 years ago.
No.
And it's like, you're just like, wait, I can just not do this?
Yeah.
Like, I can just say no?
Yeah.
Huge. What?
It's huge.
And I think that too, like, especially for artists and especially for creatives and especially, like you said, for women, we think that if we say no, like, no, nothing else is ever going to walk through the door ever again.
Yeah. Or someone's going to get mad.
Right.
And I think also, if anyone listening who's testing out the boundaries, you're going to weed out people.
Uh-huh.
And I find myself now nervously saying no. And my friends who I've attracted at this point, they don't care.
Yeah.
And they're more than happy. And in fact, they're relieved.
Mm-hmm.
And like the other day when we were making decisions about something and you said something and I was like, no, I'm just relieved you told me
what you wanted.
I don't even remember. And I was like,
oh, it was dinner.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm hungry.
Yeah. And I was like, thank God, because
I need to eat or I'm going to turn into a bitch. Yeah. I mean,
just expressing your needs yes. and figuring out together. Yeah. I mean, that's a new thing for me, too.
I was like, we need to figure out dinner. I'm hungry. And
yeah.
you were like, thanks.
And I was
like,
thanks for doing that.
Great. Yeah. Because you don't want to see me into that spot. Mm-mm. Like, I don't want to feel into that
yeah,
spot.
Yeah. Don't wait for me. Tell me what you need.
And it was
babe.
Very simple.
Yeah.
Right. What if you had any, if you could talk to like 20. 2.5-year-old Sarah now.
Oh my God, don't have sex now. I was like still virgin.
Oh
sorry,
my God,
go ahead. I'll let
totally.
You finish the question.
I would tell Shanna that too. I'd be like, don't do it.
I'm sorry, I should let you finish your question.
No. Well, what piece of advice would you give them?
Honestly, I think it would be around the physical side.
Okay.
Because I kind of hit this, I don't know if I change anything, because I was sort of asexual to a certain age and closed off, and I was almost making a business decision
mm-hmm.
to do something from a practical standpoint. And like that sort of business mentality, I don't think worked. So what would I tell myself? I think, you know what it is? It's probably watch for predators online.
Mm.
Be cautious of older men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason why 40-year-olds right. are trying to chat up 22-year-olds.
Right.
There's something that isn't right.
Yep.
The power imbalance isn't okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's not that I even say this. It's not that something even tragic happened, but I'm just really... And I feel for especially younger kids who, you know, the internet's so deeply, if you're on TikTok, there's a lot of kids talking about how they were groomed, these young girls, because of the internet. And I wasn't, but mm-hmm. I also think it was at the beginning of that time right. where they just sort of started tapping in and affected my life in a way where I just didn't know. So I think maybe that.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think I was on track. I had a lot to learn.
Yeah.
You know, and just you just have to wing it and do your best. And but yeah, probably that, because I do feel. But luckily now the conversation online between older women and younger women is happening.
Uh-huh,
and there's this account that's sort of dragging older men on through Tinder. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh my God, you have to send me the link.
Yeah. Oh, it's called Swipes for Daddy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and
I've
ended
seen
up
that one.
It's funny because I she was needing a resource for podcasting, and this is something I do, like other people need resources. I'm just like, okay, I'll mm-hmm. give you what I need. Luckily, there's lots of Google now, and so I was giving her tips, and you know, she just is confronting their approach and how they treat women
yeah.
in a way that I didn't have the tools for, and these women have it
oh
now.
My God, right?
It's incredible. I've commented on it a few times. I was like, 40-year-old me is so happy to see what you guys are doing.
Yeah, because it's educating the younger generation.
Oh my God, and we're talking and we're communicating, because I remember before when I was 22, there was a divide. And I made a tweet the other day. I was saying, you know, if you're a 20-year-old in a space and you see 40-year-old men and there's no 40-year-old women around,
yes.
it's because they don't want us there.
Yes.
And they don't make us feel
that's,
welcome.
That's a really good
so,
point.
So, yeah, I was thinking
in
about...
In any space, too. Like, yeah. whether it's music, whether it's, yeah. like, art or yeah. whatever.
They made sure we're not welcome inadvertently or directly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of putting that on a shirt and doing a fundraiser for my EP for that.
Ooh, I love that idea. Please let us know. Okay. Post about it.
SarahT.com.
SarahT.com. You mentioned winging it. And something that has been coming up for me a lot is realizing that institutions are not as pulled together and as like smooth sailing and as like knowledgeable and knowing as I would have thought. Does that like,
yeah.
And they're actually like, I say that because when you're a creator and like you start to make things or do things and then maybe big, larger groups are paying attention and want to contract you or do this and do that, and you end up trusting them, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if you have experience with this, but this is just what's popping up for me, so I kind of want to follow the thread.
Yeah, I mean, I had immediately had a story because okay.
I knew you would.
Yeah, in my mid, like, 30s, I started working with nonprofits more, right. doing, they need sort of people like me, either for social media, helping them understand, mm-hmm. or creatively, like creative consulting, coming up with ideas when they're stuck.
Totally.
And I ended up going to a conference for nonprofits, because in my head, I like the idea of angling my work that way, because potentially there's more, you know, giving back.
Right.
I didn't necessarily want to angle it towards corporations, sure. so this seemed perfect, small businesses, nonprofits. And I went to this conference and I was like, oh, these people.
Don't know what the fuck
they're doing. There's catfighting. Yeah, no, there's catfighting. There's competition. There's the same things I saw in the clubs.
Yeah.
You know.
In a quote-unquote professional
Professional women space. And men in their 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Sitting, like, I remember sitting at these tables to eat lunch and they were divided and catty and competing. And I was like, alrighty, well, yep. I'm glad I learned that now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's not what I thought it was. Mm-hmm. And also, you're right. Like, there's sort of, you put a logo on something, you make a website, you think they're professional. No, they're not. Yeah. People, a lot of people are just figuring it out as they go. You know.
Nobody knows what the fuck's going on.
No.
Like, that's
especially now.
That's like a huge, I think if I could go back and talk to my younger self, yeah. I'd be like, listen, nobody's got it figured out.
It's true.
You just do what you do and take care of yourself and be in integrity.
Yeah.
And be able to lay your head down at night and know that you tried your best and did your best.
Mm-hmm.
Because other people, nobody knows what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. I'm all about keeping my hands clean.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone else about that this morning. It's just like, you know, they were working on their relationship to money and wrapping something up. And they mm-hmm. didn't have to give this person back, but they took care of and made sure they were paid. And I was like... They're like, my hands are clean. I was like, exactly. Because at the end of the day and at the end of my life, I sleep fucking comfy.
Because
mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I go the extra mile to like make sure, you know.
Your side of the street is clean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I have to take melatonin, but.
Yeah. There's melatonin gummies. I've been looking. If anyone has a brand, they like, let me know.
Please DM Sarah.
Sponsor me.
I think we're coming to an end. Is there any... Is there anything you want to impart to the folks on the buses and the trains and in their Honda Civics?
You know, I think I might shockingly put it towards myself, which may end up being helping you. But if there's spaces that you feel that could be supportive for me, if you're listening to this yeah. and there's communities that online or otherwise where you think I would fit or, you know, be helpful, let me know. And also, if you connect with me online, know that you're a friend for life yeah. if you want it. And I'm going to like your shit. I'm going to start looking through your stuff and start suggesting things mm-hmm. if we connect. Like, yeah. let's keep building our worlds together. We're out there. Let's support and protect each other because we got to outlast them.
No shit. I love it. I yeah. love it. Where can people find you?
Okay, so Sarah T, that's SarahTea.com. All my social links are up on there. And stay connected. I'm getting ready to finish up some music in the next couple of months, so I'll need your support.
Mm-hmm.
It's my first solo EP.
I'm so excited.
So
Can't wait.
It's going to be kind of an interesting combo of visuals and sound, and we'll see where it takes me. But
I love it. I love it.
Thank you, Shanna.
You're back here playing, man.
I am.
You know, it's just, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks, Shanna.
Well, before we have to go, you have to say potty with me together, okay?
On potty with me?
Yeah, no, potty. Just okay. 1, 2, 3, potty. Ready?
Yes.
1, 2, 3.
Potty!
Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you, Shanna. Yay, potty!
Well, that's it, folks. Episode music by Lynn and Bone at soundandpatternsmusic.com. Podcast art by Jessica Savage. Editing and mixing by yours truly. And to find out more, visit lifeofthepotty.com. Thanks for listening, and as my dad would say, talk at you later.